Greetings, I'm Brad Thomas, and this is Messenger, Watchman, Declare and Contend. I'm going to be sharing from the book of Micah in this program and the next. And that's assuming that I get through all of Micah in these two programs. But beginning with what is listed as chapter 1, and I believe continuing on through chapter 4, what is listed as chapter 4. The book of Micah. The word of the Lord that came to Micah the Moreshthite in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. Hear, all ye people, hearken, O earth, and all that therein is, and let the Lord God be witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. For behold, the Lord cometh forth out of his place and will come down and tread upon the high places of the earth. And the mountains shall be molten under him, and the valleys shall be cleft as wax before the fire, and as the waters that are poured down a steep place. For the transgression of Jacob is all this, and for the sins of the house of Israel. What is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? And what are the high places of Judah? Are they not Jerusalem? Therefore I will make Samaria as an heap of the field, and as plantings of a vineyard. And I will pour down the stones thereof into the valley, and I will discover the foundations thereof. And all the graven images thereof shall be beaten to pieces, and all the hires thereof shall be burned with the fire, and all the idols thereof will I lay desolate. For she gathered it of the hire of an harlot, and they shall return to the hire of an harlot. Therefore I will wail and howl, I will go stripped and naked, I will make a wailing like the dragons and mourning as the owls. For her wound is incurable. For it is come unto Judah, he is come unto the gate of my people, even to Jerusalem. Declare ye it not at Gath, weep ye not at all. In the house of Aphra, roll thyself in the dust. Pass ye away, thou inhabitant of Sepher, having thy shame naked. The inhabitant of Zaanan came not forth in the morning of Bethezel. He shall receive of you his standing. For the inhabitant of Meroth waited carefully for good, but evil came down from the Lord unto the gate of Jerusalem. O thou inhabitant of Lachish, bind the chariot to the swift beast. She is the beginning of the sin to the daughter of Zion. For the transgressions of Israel were found in thee. Therefore shalt thou give presents to Moresh-Ethgath. The houses of Achzib shall be a lie to the kings of Israel. Yet will I bring an heir unto thee, O inhabitant of Marisha. He shall come unto Adullam, the glory of Israel. Make thee bald and pull thee for thy delicate children. Enlarge thy baldness as the eagle, for they are gone into captivity from thee. Now, the difference that I intend for there to be between this program, Messenger, Watchman, Declare and Contend, and the program Christ's Resurrection of Life Body Messages, is that this program specifically focuses on God's word of judgment for his people and for the people on this earth. God's word of judgment was always pronounced, always given, so that the people might understand what the judgment and the punishment is for, and also so that they might, even at the last possible hour, turn from their sins to God. Beginning again with the first chapter, what is listed as the first chapter, the first passage in the book of Micah. The word of the Lord that came to Micah the Moreshthite in the days of Joab, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. Samaria being the capital of the kingdom of Israel after the division of Israel into separate kingdoms, the kingdom of Judah with Benjamin and the kingdom of the remaining 10 tribes of Israel. This is the word of the Lord concerning judgment for both. For the kingdom of Israel, the limited kingdom of Israel of 10 tribes with its capital in Samaria, and the kingdom of Judah with its capital in Jerusalem, Judah and Benjamin. Hear, all ye people, hearken, O earth, and all that therein is, and let the Lord God be witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. So this word from Micah, in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, he's serving in the kingdom of Judah, but nonetheless, he also delivers this word to the kingdom of Israel. It comes from God Almighty. It's not coming from man. This is not coming from some advisors, some learned people, some experts, some commission of experts. This is from God Almighty by his Holy Ghost delivered to Micah to deliver to these people. From the Lord in his holy temple in heaven. For behold, the Lord cometh forth out of his place and will come down and tread upon the high places of the earth. And the mountains shall be molten under him, and the valleys shall be cleft as wax before the fire, and as the waters that are poured down a steep place. Much to do is made about people scaling this mountain or that mountaintop in their great expeditions. Well, God Almighty is coming down and going to tread upon the high places. The mountains shall be molten under him. Molten, as in molten lava. Now, normally, I think of molten lava with regard to volcanoes, volcanic eruptions. That is the usual way that we happen to see it depicted. But it doesn't require a volcanic eruption for there to be molten lava. There can be fissures and breaks in the surface of the earth from which molten lava can flow. But here, the word of the Lord is that the mountains shall be molten under him, and the valleys shall be cleft, as wax before the fire. There is none of this that is natural. Isn't it interesting, these so-called disasters, and truly they are traumatic to say the least. Volcanic eruptions, earthquakes, tsunamis, and such, including forest fires and what have you, avalanches, they are all deemed natural disasters. And yet, what's happening here is not natural in the sense that it would just normally take place. And in point of fact, in time to come, we will undoubtedly find out that a great many, if not all, so-called natural disasters are actually triggered, are caused for explicit reasons. And I don't mean triggered by terrorists. I mean that God permits them to take place for certain reasons. But the waters that are poured down a steep place, he likens this to with regard to the valleys. They shall be cleft as wax before the fire and as waters that are poured down a steep place. That's how violent this is going to be. In Southern California, I can think of an instance up in Washington State, one or more, where there have been terrible mudslides. Violent mudslides. Only here it's not mud so much, perhaps, as molten matter. But perchance it also includes mud. For the transgression of Jacob is all this. The transgression of Jacob is the transgression of Israel, the transgression of all of the tribes of Israel. And for the sins of the house of Israel. What is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? And what are the high places of Judah? Are they not Jerusalem? This judgment is for all of the house of Jacob, the house of Israel, within these two nations that were supposed to be one and were one at one time. Therefore, I will make Samaria as an heap of the field and as plantings of a vineyard. And I will pour down the stones thereof into the valley, and I will discover the foundations thereof. It will be made as a heap of a field. He will pour down the stones as a rock slide, as a massive rock slide, into the valley, and will discover the foundations thereof. There will be great disruption. And this very, very violent upheaval that shall lay the ground bare, shall cut into the ground. And all the graven images thereof shall be beaten to pieces. And all the hires thereof shall be burned with the fire. And all the idols thereof will I lay desolate, for she gathered it of the hire of an harlot, and they shall return to the hire of an harlot. If we look back a few hundred years ago in this nation, in the United States of America, but this applies worldwide, God's word is for people round the globe, round the world, everywhere on earth. But here in this country, in America, in North America, a few hundred years ago, the Pilgrims and Puritans, when there were famines, when there was drought, when there was pestilence, plague, disease, they invariably reacted in a way that is foreign to us. They turned to God. They cried out to God. They prayed to God for deliverance. They fasted, and so on and so forth. They saw these things as judgment from God, displeasure from God, and they saw themselves as dependent on God. Now, of course, our enlightened leaders of today, whether they happen to be academicians, theologians, political leaders, social scientists, and what have you, would, of course, condemn us being dependent on God. You know, man is the measure of all things. We are independent. Any of us can become anything that we want to be. And all this other nonsense. But God Almighty, in this judgment, is going to destroy all of these graven images, false religion icons that have been created, have been made by sinful, corrupt men, and are being worshipped in many cases by these sinful, wayward people. He will destroy all of these icons, images from false religions, beat them to pieces, melt them, and all the hires thereof, all the money that is heaped in offerings to these, which he likens to all coming from prostitution, and it will return to the wages of prostitution. Therefore, I will wail and howl. I will go stripped and naked. I will make a wailing like the dragons and mourning as the owls. Now, Micah is included within that group of prophets that is referred to as the minor prophets, the lesser prophets, and so on and so forth. But he was a mighty prophet of God, who hazarded his life to communicate the word of God to sinful, corrupt, wayward, rebellious people who were the people of God. He wasn't some nut, some lunatic, some such and such, and yet he says, I will wail and howl, I will go stripped and naked. He wasn't an exhibitionist. He wasn't a nudist. He wasn't a naturist, so-called, which they prefer to call themselves. It's, after all, so elevated. I will make a wailing like the dragons and mourning as the owls. And yes, there really were dragons. And Satan is the ultimate dragon. But I will go stripped and naked because of being commanded by God to do so. Not to make a foolish image of himself. No. This is not a matter of glorying in exposing himself, unlike, is not totally uncommon today. Whether it be streakers or whether it be others. for her wound is incurable. For it has come unto Judah, not just Samaria, Judah. He has come unto the gate of my people, even to Jerusalem. Declare ye it not at Gath, and weep ye not at all. In the house of Aphra, roll thyself in the dust. Pass ye away, thou inhabitant of Sepher, having thy shame naked. The inhabitant of Zaanan came not forth in the morning of Bethezel. He shall receive of you his standing. For the inhabitant of Meroth waited carefully for good, but evil came down from the Lord unto the gate of Jerusalem because of the extreme rebellion and sin of the people of Jerusalem, the people of Judah. Micah shall go stripped and naked as a sign to these people of what is going to befall them. But the inhabitant of Meroth waited carefully for good. You know, we're the apple of God's eye. No harm can come to us. O thou inhabitant of Lachish, bind the chariot to the swift beast. She is the beginning of the sin to the daughter of Zion, for the transgressions of Israel were found in thee. God Almighty prohibited the kings of Israel, back before it was the divided kingdom, and thereafter, prohibited them from amassing chariots. But, of course, they disdained God's prohibition, and they did as they pleased. Therefore shalt thou give presents to Moresh-Ethgath. The houses of Achzib shall be a lie to the kings of Israel. Yet will I bring an heir unto thee, O inhabitant of Marisha. He shall come unto Adullam, the glory of Israel. The glory of Israel. Who could that be? This is Old Testament, right? This is Old Testament. Couldn't be referring to Jesus, could it? The glory of Israel. He shall come unto Adullam, the glory of Israel. The Lord and God, the Lord of lords and King of kings. Make thee bald and pull thee for thy delicate children. Enlarge thy baldness as the eagle, for they are gone into captivity from thee. Reminds me of the terrible raids that the Islamist terrorist Boko Haram have made in Nigeria and elsewhere, and kidnapped hundreds of young women. Many parents and brothers and what have you have been slaughtered, have been murdered. And those that have not been murdered, many of them have died from grief. It is possible to die from grief. And there are many reported cases of just that, as their darling daughters have been taken captive by these vicious, monstrous enemies of God, enemies of Christ. Now, what is listed as chapter 2, I will undoubtedly not get through chapter 4, but woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it because it is in the power of their hand. And they covet fields and take them by violence, and houses and take them away. So they oppress a man and his house, even a man and his heritage. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, against this family do I devise an evil from which ye shall not remove your necks, neither shall ye go haughtily, for this time is evil. I should hasten to add, with regard to these girls taken captive, these families slaughtered, it is invariably Christian families that are attacked. But in that day shall one take up a parable against you and lament with a doleful lamentation and say, we be utterly spoiled. He hath changed the portion of my people. How hath he removed it from me? Turning away, he hath divided our fields. Therefore thou shalt have none that shall cast a cord by lot in the congregation of the Lord. Prophesy ye not, say they, to them that prophesy. They shall not prophesy to them, that they shall not take shame. O thou that art named the house of Jacob, is the spirit of the Lord straitened? Are these his doings? Do not my words do good to him that walketh uprightly? Even of late my people is risen up as an enemy. Ye pull off the robe with the garment from them that pass by securely, as men averse from war. The women of my people have ye cast out from their pleasant houses. From their children have ye taken away my glory forever. Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest, because it is polluted. It shall destroy you even with a sore destruction. If a man walking in the spirit and falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine and of strong drink, he shall even be the prophet of this people. I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah, as the flock in the midst of their fold. They shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men. The breaker is come up before them. They have broken up and have passed through the gate and are gone out by it, and their king shall pass before them, and the Lord on the head of them. Again, to the beginning of what is listed as chapter 2, woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it because it is in the power of their hand. And they covet fields and take them by violence, and houses and take them away. So they oppress a man and his house, even a man and his heritage. These wicked people, these wicked, evil people who plot and plan destruction for others, who seek to rob others, who slaughter others in order to steal their goods, their property, their homes, their wives, and so forth, their flocks. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, against this family do I devise an evil from which ye shall not remove your necks, neither shall ye go haughtily, for this time is evil. God Almighty is going to judge and punish these violent, vicious, ruthless destroyers, and they shall not evade his punishment and his judgment. Yes, they can evade justice on earth, meted out by the authorities that are so wicked and corrupt and unrighteous and unjust. But they cannot evade God's judgment, not just in time to come, but even that which he metes out on this earth. In that day shall one take up a parable against you and lament with a doleful lamentation and say, we be utterly spoiled. He hath changed the portion of my people. How hath he removed it from me? Turning away, he hath divided our fields. Therefore thou shalt have none that shall cast a cord by lot in the congregation of the Lord. Therefore these wicked ones shall have none to represent them before the Lord. Prophesy ye not, say they to them that prophesy. They shall not prophesy to them that they shall not take shame. Yes, the wicked ones, throughout Scripture, throughout the Old Testament, they insisted, they demanded that God's prophets not prophesy. And they persecuted the righteous and faithful prophets and conspired against them and sought to murder them. And did martyr many. But meanwhile, they had all of their false prophets. They had their prophets. You know, their hand-picked, chosen, hireling false prophets who outnumbered the godly ones. They had their prophets of Baal and Molech and so forth. And those who claimed to be prophets of the Lord, but were not. O thou that art named the house of Jacob, is the Spirit of the Lord straitened? Is God not able to act? Is God not able to judge and execute judgment and justice where man fails to? Are these his doings? Do not my words do good to him that walketh uprightly? Even of late my people is risen up as an enemy. Ye pull off the robe with the garment from them that pass by securely as men averse from war. You engage in highway robbery of those that are at peace. The women of my people have ye cast out from their pleasant houses. From their children have ye taken away my glory forever. Yes, the wicked kings and princes and wicked nobility routinely did this. Stole houses, property, fields, flocks from widows. Typically after they murdered their husbands. But of course, in the New Testament, in the Gospels, we have Jesus referring to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the chief rulers, the high priests, the scribes, the doctors of the law, and condemning them for taking away, for stealing away widows' houses and widows' livelihoods, oppressing widows and fatherless children, the same as in the Old Testament. Oh, but it's not relevant. We only want to hear relevant, practical preaching because we don't have use for all the rest. We just want that which is pleasant and comfortable and practical and relevant and inoffensive and terribly, terribly tolerant. From their children have ye taken away my glory forever. This is condemnation from God on those who have done this. And unlike the words of so many religious leaders then and now, and other leaders, God's word is not without effect, not without authority, not without power. What he says he will do, he will do. What he has said that he will do back then, he has done. But the prophecies that he gave so long ago, millennia and millennia and millennia ago, were not just for one point in time, one people in one place, but rather almost invariably also pertained to time to come, other people in later times. Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest, because it is polluted. It shall destroy you even with a sore destruction. If a man walking in the spirit and falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine and of strong drink, he shall even be the prophet of this people, of this sinful, corrupt, wayward people. He will prophesy pleasant things, enjoyable things, entertaining things, comforting things for those for whom God will not grant comfort because of their wickedness and rebellion against God. I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah, as the flock in the midst of their fold. They shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men. The breaker is come up before them. They have broken up and have passed through the gate and are gone out by it, and their king shall pass before them, and the Lord on the head of them. That particular passage, that verse, and the Lord on the head of them, always mystifies me, because here we have people that are going into captivity because of their wickedness, because of their waywardness, because of their frowardness before God, because of their failure to honor and worship God, they are being taken into captivity. I do not say that this pertains to these Nigerian Christian girls. I do not. I do not make a comparison here at all, except to say that there are Christians in parts of this world who are suffering continually, monstrously, due to grievous violence from enemies of God, enemies of Christ, enemies who serve Satan. In that particular case, serving Satan, who for them goes by a different name, the name of Allah, a pseudonym. But there are people of God in other parts of the world who suffer from others, from communists and from vicious, ruthless, satanic drug cartels and what have you, from fascists, and so forth. Now, what is listed as being the third chapter? And I said, hear, I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and ye princes of the house of Israel. Is it not for you to know judgment, who hate the good and love the evil, who pluck off their skin from off them and their flesh from off their bones, who also eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from off them, and they break their bones and chop them in pieces as for the pot and as flesh within the cauldron. Then shall they cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, as they have behaved themselves ill in their doings. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err. They bite with their teeth and cry, peace. And he that putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare war against him. Therefore night shall be unto you that ye shall not have a vision. And it shall be dark unto you that ye shall not divine. And the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. Then shall the seers be ashamed, and the diviners confounded. Yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgression, and to Israel his sin. Hear this, I pray you, ye heads of the house of Jacob and princes of the house of Israel, that abhor judgment and pervert all equity. They build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire. And the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of the forest. So again, beginning with what is listed as being chapter 3. And I said, hear, I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and ye princes of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know judgment? A refrain throughout the Old Testament, over and over and over and over again, is for the leaders, the judges, the rulers, the princes, the kings, to execute righteous judgment and justice, and exercise mercy and loving kindness. To execute righteous judgment and justice was to punish the wicked, to punish the evil, to restrain the evil, to remove the evil from the midst of the people. And I don't mean just sending them to a jail or a prison. To execute them. And not after 40 or 30 or 25 or 20 years. Even those men referred to as the founding fathers, a mere 200 or so years ago, they stated, among our rights, the Bill of Rights, a right to a speedy trial. Not to long, long, drawn out, protracted, prolonged processes and trials and appeals and appeals and ages and ages on death row and not being executed because they're too old to be executed and so on and so forth. But the heads of Jacob and the heads of Israel, how many of these kings, princes, how much of the nobility, how many of the rulers did not execute righteous judgment and justice? In point of fact, the responsibility was in the hands of the priests until the people took that away from them and put it in the hands of what you might liken to civil rulers, monarchs. But they failed to execute righteous judgment and justice. And the wording here, the description here, this is not an allegory. This is not metaphorical. This is not poetic license. This is literal. What these wicked, evil kings, princes, rulers, priests did to the godly people in Israel and Judah, God's people, mind you, who hate the good and love the evil, the exact diametric opposite of what they were supposed to be and do. They were supposed to love the good and hate the evil. And instead, these heads, these rulers, hated the good and loved the evil. Who pluck off their skin from off them and their flesh from off their bones, who also eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from off them, and they break their bones and chop them in pieces as for the pot and as flesh within the cauldron. This is a catalog of evils committed by wicked rulers, priests, princes, kings. Then shall they, meaning these evil rulers, cry unto the Lord when they are punished for these evils, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, as they have behaved themselves ill in their doings. Now, there couldn't be a greater understatement on the face of the earth than that. They have behaved themselves ill in their doings. They have committed monstrous, heinous evil. Over and over and over and over. And God brings punishment, judgment to them, finally. And they will cry out to God then. Then they get very observant, very religious. They cry out to God, and God will not hear them. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that cause my people to sin and to rebel against God, that bite with their teeth and cry, peace, and he that putteth not into their mouths, he that doesn't pay these false prophets, that doesn't pay obeisance to these false prophets, that doesn't serve these false prophets. These false prophets prepare war against them. Therefore, night shall be unto you that ye shall not have a vision, and it shall be dark unto you that ye shall not divine, and the sun shall go down over these false prophets, these wicked, evil prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. Then shall the seers be ashamed, and the diviners confounded. Yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. If you look in the book of Daniel, you'll see that Nebuchadnezzar, he consulted with his seers and his diviners and his astrologers and his false prophets. But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. Now, yes, this is pertaining to Micah, but not just to Micah. This is foretelling of Jesus Christ. Hear this, I pray you, ye heads of the house of Jacob, and princes of the house of Israel that abhor judgment and pervert all equity, that abhor righteous judgment and equal judgment. This is what equity is referring to here, that abhor judgment and pervert all equity. It doesn't mean stealing from those who have more, who have worked in order to gain more by their efforts, by their labors, stealing from them and giving to some others so there's equity, so there's social justice, so-called. No. He's referring to, again, these leaders, these judges, these heads who hate righteous judgment. They abhor, they loathe righteous judgment. And they pervert all equity, all righteousness, all justice, all justness, all honorable, noble morals. They hate them and they pervert them, as is seen in the United States of America of today and every developed nation, every Western nation, every place that at one time was referred to as Christendom, even though, for the most part, what was referred to as Christendom was Catholicism, as wayward as that is. They build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity, even as this nation and all of these Western nations have been built up with the blood of induced abortion and infanticide. Built up short-term gain for long-term loss. They build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. They're all hirelings. They have entered ministry as careers, not called by God. They serve man, they please man, they are people pleasers. And I know something about being inclined to be a people pleaser, namely wanting to please people, but this is a different thing. This is changing the Word of God, prostituting the Word of God to please people. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. We're the apple of God's eye. Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of the forest. Because of the wickedness of the leaders, of the rulers, of the priests, of the false prophets who have led the people astray, led them into rebellion, and those who have not paid them, honored them, rewarded them for their wicked leadership, for their prostitution of their responsibilities, of their duties. They shall war, these evil leaders war against those who do not join them. And then what is listed as being chapter 4. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it, and many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. For they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts hath spoken it. For all people will walk every one in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. In that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. And I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth, even forever. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion. The kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Now why dost thou cry out aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? For pangs have taken thee as a woman in travail. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon. There shalt thou be delivered. There the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. Now also many nations are gathered against thee that say, let her be defiled, and let our eye look upon Zion. But they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsel. For he shall gather them as the sheaves into the floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make thy horn iron, and I will make thy hooves brass. And thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. Now this is a very curious passage to combine all of this. But again, beginning with what is listed as chapter 4. But in the last days, it shall come to pass. Interestingly enough, he starts with in the last days, heading into the millennial reign of Christ, but then comes back to a time prior to that, long prior to that. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains. And it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. God Almighty shall be exalted, and many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off around the world. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Spears and swords. Spears into pruning hooks, swords into plowshares. Yes, that did pertain long ago. What constituted weapons at one time would constitute the means of farming at another, and vice versa. It's hard to imagine that particular transformation applying to today. But it's not to say that large pieces of military equipment, mobile pieces of equipment like troop carriers and so forth, it's not to say that those couldn't be converted into machinery for farming. But the Lord goes on to say, nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. This is directly heading into the millennial reign of Christ. It is entering the millennial reign of Christ. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts hath spoken it. Not only none shall make them afraid from war, none shall make them afraid from violence, from rampant violence. Violence from armies, violence from gangs, violence from individuals, and even violence from animals, from noisome beasts. But then, and this is, according to God, the mouth of the Lord of hosts hath spoken. So it is reliable, unlike the word of man. But then he goes on to say, for all people will walk, every one in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. Very curious. All of these peoples of the earth that serve gods other than God Almighty and his Holy Son Jesus, they shall go to war. They shall follow Satan in going to war against Israel. And all of those armies shall be destroyed. And that is what will lead directly into the millennial reign of Christ. And yet, seemingly, according to this scripture, this verse of scripture, according to this verse, these people in these other parts of the world, they will go on worshiping their false gods. Even though Christ Jesus shall rule and reign in righteousness, in holiness from Jerusalem. We will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. And yet, the millennial reign is for 1,000 years. And at the end of that 1,000 years, Satan shall be loosed from the bottomless pit. And he shall go forth with his servants around the world, gathering a vast, vast coalition force, a vast coalition of armies, a vast confederacy of forces to go to war again against Israel, against Jerusalem, against Jesus, and they shall be destroyed. And that will usher in the kingdom of God, the eternal kingdom of God, in which no people who worship any other than God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost will inherit it. Only those who worship God Almighty and His Holy Son Jesus and worship Him and worship them in spirit and in truth, only those shall inherit eternal life. In that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. She whom the Lord God Almighty has afflicted. And I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth, even forever. Well, again, with regard to the millennial reign of Christ that is for 1,000 years, and following that, following this final attack, assault, waged by Satan and his servants, then this earth and these heavens shall pass away, and a new earth shall come down, and a new Jerusalem, and they shall last forever. And the Lord God Almighty and His Christ shall reign forever. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion. The kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Now why dost thou cry out aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? For pangs have taken thee as a woman in travail. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. This is not speaking of childbirth. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon. There shalt thou be delivered. There the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. So again, this precedes this assault on Israel. But again, this is not speaking of childbirth. This is speaking of laboring for salvation. This is crying out to God. This is seeking God Almighty. Now also many nations are gathered against thee that say, let her be defiled. Let our eye look upon Zion. Yes, this is Satan's desire, his intention to destroy all that is of God, from God, in order to, in his own way, defeat God's purposes from being accomplished, to deny God his victory of saving vast multitudes of people. Satan and the evil hate the good and seek to destroy them. They go about seeking to corrupt and pervert and defile and destroy. And you see these are hallmarks, definitive marks of violence that is done every day in this nation and around the world to women, to girls, to precious young women, to defile them and destroy them and slaughter them. In the United States of America and around the world, we see this most terrible, vicious, ruthless crime. Let her be defiled, and our eye look upon Zion, upon the destroyed Zion, the defiled Zion. But they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsel, for he shall gather them as the sheaves into the floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make thine horn iron, and I will make thy hooves brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. Currently, Jerusalem is defiled. That's why there is the Dome of the Rock. The Mosque of Aqsa and so forth. Islam, Satan, Allah, and his false prophet Muhammad have made a chief target of Jerusalem, to defile it, to desecrate it, to corrupt it, to make it abominable to God. Oh, but that's the place of three great world religions, and it is holy ground for all of them. No, that's what the fools say. That's what the liars say. The liars are those who know that what they're saying is false. The fools are those who believe it and repeat it. No. Jerusalem is only holy ground for God and his Christ, and not the enemies of God and his Christ. Heavenly Father, Holy God, Lord and King, take thy power to thee, rule and reign. Accomplish thy great and precious plans and purposes and prophecies and promises. Have thy way, Lord. All glory, all praise, all thanksgiving, all worship be thine only. God, grant that we may pay heed to thee and to thy word. Enlighten the eyes of our understanding and cause us to understand thy word and to worship thee in spirit and truth. In Christ Jesus' name, soon coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen.